Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Time for your listener questions. We love answering those, so stay tuned for that. First, a word from our sponsor. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, we're down to only 133 days to go till Marathon Weekend 2018. So get in those miles, lizards. Get excited for those runs, those medals, those memories, and count it down each and every day with Days to Go WDW. Lots of great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1214 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Just a couple of days left until we head, I'm heading out east to Indianapolis for the Indy Disney Meet. Remember, if you have nothing going on this weekend, you need to be there. And if you have something going on this weekend, ditch those plans. Tell the relatives, too bad, I'm hanging out with my Disney friends. We're going to be in Indianapolis Saturday from 12 to 7. Yeehaw, Bob's going to be there. Len Testa's going to be there. Jim Hill's going to be there. Jeff Barnes is going to be there. Ricky Niblett, Pam Forrester, and me. Wow, we'll all be there. It's going to be great, man. There might be more celebrities in Indy than Orlando this weekend. I'm just saying it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, minor celebrities at that, but it's going to be a good time.
Very minor in our case.
Very minor, but raising money for Give Kids World. Going to be a great time. Dole Whips and the whole nine yards. So be there this Saturday, the Indy Disney Meet. We can't wait to see you there. All right, let's get to answering your questions first. Joining me from the Magic for the mouseforless.com, a Disney World After All.com, and touringplans.com, and the internet in general. It's Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
Just generally the internet. Yeah, exactly. That's where I am. If it's Disney and it's the internet, chances are I'm there. Just saying. So that's
how you roll. All right.
I'm still seeing spots. So
I'm totally seeing spots. Man, the eclipse, because we're recording on Monday today,
obviously,
for this show. Yeah. The eclipse was amazing. We were in the path of totality, 100% totality, got dark, got to watch from under the columns at Mizzou. If you're watching the video, got on the shirt. There's my glow-in-the-dark columns with the eclipse there. I took Mallory out of school, met up with Paige. It was amazing. Got to see the chase plane go across right before the shadow.
Nice.
Oh, as much as I love Walt Disney World for the, you know, places they create, the environments they create, there's nothing like the natural world. I love science. I love nature. It was amazing. So anyway, Pam Forrester, you're up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. You had about 80% totality, correct?
We did. We had about 80%. It was a little cloudy because our weather every day is partly cloudy. Just going to say, seriously, that is you can say that almost 98% of the time.
Oh my gosh. Correct.
Yeah, it really is. So it wasn't quite as spectacular as yours, but I didn't have the ability to go to where it was going to be more total. So I guess I'll make plans for 2024 right now.
I guess.
Because there's going to be another eclipse. That eclipse then. So, and in 2045.
Well, yeah, but will Bonnie Tyler still be alive to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart? I heard she sang.
Well, she was meant to be alive. They could just play.
Somebody's going to play.
I don't wish her any harm or anything. I'm just pointing out.
Somebody's going to play it somewhere. I'm just saying that, and something from Little Shop of Horrors. So it's fine.
All right, let's get to the questions. That's why folks are here. First one is coming from Nick. He says, "Urgent DWD help needed." You know what? We don't have much DWD help, but we're going to give you some WDW help, just whether you need it or not.
That's the only help we know.
I figured it was so urgent, he was like typing it at a frantic pace. He didn't realize.
I needed to know.
It stressed me out immediately when I saw it in the inbox. So here we go. Mike and ladies, hello again from Cincinnati. I'm writing in to see if you guys could help me out with a very concerning situation I have for upcoming trip to the world in October. My wife and I are going to be in the world for a long weekend to celebrate our 10th wedding anniversary. And for one special night, I had planned dinner at Disney Springs and the Venezia Champagne Cruise for the night. I hope I said that right. Ooh. Well, I got a concerning email this week that the Venezia currently is out of commission for unscheduled maintenance and will not be available until November. We still really want to stay in Disney Springs for the night, but wanted to see if you guys had any suggestions for what else to do for our 10th anniversary. Any advice would help. Thanks again for the help and love the show, Nick. All right, so it sounds like that Champagne Cruise is going down for a little bit, and it's going to unfortunately be down while they're there, but he's really feeling the vibe for Disney Springs. I think it is a great place to celebrate an anniversary. It's definitely a destination for adults. Pam, suggestions for Nick to at least have a backup plan? Well, it might be primary because it sounds like the Champagne Cruise isn't going to work out.
Now, well, you know what you can do? The aqua cars. I mean, that looks awesome to be able to do that. And that's an experience that really, besides Walt Disney World, I mean, I'm sure that there probably is somewhere else that you could do that. But it's hard to think of where that might be. I don't really know of any location. So I think that's a really unique experience. The other thing is, after dinner, I know you were going to do an event that was filled with, well, let's face it, drinking. So there are lots of other places to do that at Disney Springs. Of course, Jock Lindsey's, which you've heard us talk about a few times. There's also a kind of a top level there at a bar at the new Paddlefish. There are lots of places along, you know, Disney Springs that you can stop and do that. We've mentioned this before, but even Starbucks has wine and beer after a certain point in the afternoon. So that's kind of cool. There's just lots of great places to be at Disney Springs. And I don't think you'll have, you know, there's not a lack of places that you'll find there. So I'm sure you'll find something else to do. But I think the aqua car, I mean, that's not really romantic or anything like that, but it's kind of cool. Well, it could be romantic. It's just the two of you in the back. I don't know. Hashtag, is this romantic?
So, right. Ricky, that's a question. Are the aqua cars, the amphibicars, are those romantic?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I think you can have a very romantic time on the, you know, aqua cars. So, I mean, you're not going to have the champagne, but I think the boat ride in itself is a good idea. So I say that's a good choice.
What about, well, they want Disney Springs, and that's such a great place because you can really have some kind of upper scale, you know, upper class like drinks and dining experiences. But what if you, it's kind of late too, last minute, but do something like an Illuminations cruise or, you know, a fireworks cruise on Seven Seals Lagoon, as they technically call it. But it's probably a little bit late in the game for October on that, you know, if I'm thinking.
Probably.
Well, good luck, Lissa. I would definitely do Jock Lindsey's, though. I love that place. That place is cool.
It had great music, remember? We were sitting there and asking.
Yep. Hey,
and
Siri.
Siri, what song is this?
That area outside is really nice that they have a Jock Lindsey's.
So, it is.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we got Missy Walsh. Hello, we're headed to Walt Disney World in mid-September and have last-minute odd questions. She says she's sorry that she's all over the place, and they're not necessarily related, but here we go. Three quick questions, actually four, but real quick. We'll be landing about 11 a.m. and don't plan on entering our room until 3, the normal check-in time at All Star Music. She says she already checked in online. Instead, we are going to roam the resorts and maybe swim at All Star Music. Can we get our refillable mugs since we purchased the dining plan to use during the stay? So they're landing at 11 a.m., but don't plan on going to the room until 3. But she wants the mug so that they can go to the pool. So it sounds like they want to swim before they go to the room. Just kind of do that first, Pam. Is that going to work out fine? Because when do you get that mug?
So, I mean, as soon as you're on Disney property and you've purchased the dining plan, as long as everything on your card activates correctly, do online check-in and go ahead to the food court, grab your mug and ask them to scan your band. Everything should work. If not, you're right there in the building. So you can just head on over and do a quick check with guest services right there at the check-in area and they can go ahead and do that. But the beauty of online check-in is, at this point, is that you don't ever have to go to the front desk if you don't want to. You can head right to your room. Make sure that you put your text number in there so you'll get a text notification when your room is ready. Not that you have to go there when it's ready, but do the online check-in. Make sure you have a credit card linked to your profile and make sure you set up a PIN. Those are the things that kind of often derail the, you know, online check-in, whether it works or not. So make sure you have all those things down and you should be good.
All right. And number two, I just heard from somewhere, and that's always a bad place to hear things about Disney. Man,
yes.
Next thing you know, people will be saying,
just say it right now. Unless it's the Mouse for Less or Touring Plans.
Right.
You know, I heard somewhere.
Coincidentally enough, two places that I may or may not be affiliated with. I'm just saying.
I heard somewhere that you can't steal the soap anymore. I mean, come on now. Are you kidding me? Anyway, we don't want to go
there. Although I haven't reported on that, but that's true.
It is true. That's the man. You know what? I've been hoarding that stuff for the last 12 years. Now I got a black market. I'm gonna buy our next house with the soaps that I've taken over.
Think of how much money I don't think.
I don't think that will be in all the resorts, by the way.
We'll see. I don't mind it. I mean, hey, as long as I got something to scrub off the grub, you know, I'm good. Because, you know, Florida, you sweat every 5 minutes. You need something good. Anyway, number two, I just heard from somewhere the character meals at Crystal Palace, the characters will not be signing autograph books anymore, but instead giving out cards. Have you heard this? And is it to spread, in particular, to Cinderella's Castle Breakfast? Ricky, what do you know about these characters not signing autograph books, but giving, I guess, like trading cards?
I haven't heard about it at Crystal Palace, although that doesn't mean that it's not happening. It just maybe hasn't gone through my ear that it's happening. And I haven't eaten at Crystal Palace ever. It's one of the few restaurants I've ever eaten at Walt Disney World.
Oh my goodness.
I know, right? There aren't that many left, and that's one of them. So I don't know. I do know that they used to hand out those cards sometimes with like rare characters at like the meets that they have, you know, some of the meet and greets that they have. But for like character meal, I haven't heard them doing it yet. So, I wouldn't worry about it too much until we start hearing about it more mainstream in the Disney community. If we start hearing it like that, then maybe I would worry, but I think you're going to be fine at Cinderella's Royal Table for now. So,
you know what I heard? I heard that snake from Jungle Book, when he does his meet and greets, what's his name? Like Shere Khan or Ka, whatever it is. He gives out cards. He doesn't tend to sign autograph books because
he has no hands.
Exactly. That's right. So, you know what? Yeah. They just make
me. But I do, you know, I understand that people like the autograph books and stuff like that, but I think the cards are actually kind of cool too. Like if you got like a photo album and
be a keepsake.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it's a unique way of doing a autograph book. So, I don't know. I have no problem with either way. Let's just put it that way.
It's another thing to collect and put on eBay. Put it right, you know, match them up.
There you go.
Put your Ka trading card with your like three Mickey soaps that are in the black and white, you know, 1998.
And your consultation card that you can sometimes get from the mall.
Yes, exactly. I still have the black, some of the black and white, or black and yellow and red Mickey soaps.
You know what, guys? I love you as listeners, and I know how much you love Walt Disney World. I'm telling you how to finance your next trip. Let me know at the Magic Club. Less.com will get you there.
Well, Todd says they do cards at Bon Voyage breakfast. So, I mean,
but
maybe
don't they sign too?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I thought the card was like an addition too, but
it's been a while since I've done a character meal. Let's just put it that way. So,
all right, number three, the day we leave, our flight is not until 5 p.m. So we wanted to have brunch at Chef Mickey's and then leave from the airport from there using Magical Express. Is this possible, or do you have to leave from your own resort? Pam, we get this question quite often. What's the answer?
We do, and I'll be the one to break it to you. You have to leave from your own resort. That's how they set it up. That's how they know where to pick you up. That's how they know where to find you. So you do have to do that. But just to go, you know, do your brunch a little bit earlier and then maybe take Uber or a minivan from Chef Mickey's back to your resort. Or you could just walk over to the Magic Kingdom and catch one of the transportation options from that point too.
All right. And the cleanup question number four, our airline charges us for bags. You know how this works with Magical Express when we leave. Thank you for all you guys do to make our trips magical. Missy's in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. Pam, is that close to you? It's actually, it's not. It's 6 hours away. She put it in the email.
Okay. Sometimes there are very small towns that I'm just like, people will be like, that's near you. And I'm like,
really?
That's near me?
I love that game. I love that. Is that close to you or not? So that's obviously probably on the other side of the Keystone State. All right. So Ricky or Pam, I don't care. You know what? I've only flown Southwest and my bags are free. So
right?
Pam, do you want to tell them how to take care of that? Go ahead, Pam.
I know. So it actually has nothing to do with Magical Express. They actually have something at Walt Disney World called Resort Airline Check-In. And it's really one of my favorite benefits. It's not like a highlighter, extra magic hours or Fast Pass Plus arrangements at 60 days instead of 30. But it is such a convenient thing that on times where we have ability to do this, I'm like kicking myself because I hardly know what to do at Disney World anymore without this. But on the morning of your departure, you go ahead to the Resort Airline check-in desk, and you can use this whether you're using Magical Express or not, because we don't use Magical Express and we always use this feature. And you can go ahead and give them your bags, and they will check them through to your destination. The thing is, it's like the sky caps that work outside of your airport, perhaps you've seen them. You need to tip these folks because they aren't Disney employees and they don't work for the airline. They kind of work for the airport. So they, this is a tipped position. But they go ahead and weigh your bags and check them through. Now, if you do have an airline where you need to pay the fees for your bags, you'll go ahead and do that. You'll be able to do it at the desk right there. Just make sure that you have a charge card available for that.
You know what? And I think, doesn't that desk close at like noon for the day? I mean, it's early. People, I think, assume you can do that anytime.
There are, I don't have the times of the desk right here.
I think it's 5 a.m. to noon, if I'm not mistaken. But
I think you're wrong.
I don't know why that's ringing a bell for me.
Because you have to check your bags at least, I think, 3 hours in advance, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
So all right. That's why it shuts so early.
All right. Let me just send a shout out to Pam Forster for telling me how to make this font bigger, man. This is rocking. This is so much easier to read like this. I love it.
Don't you feel like you're like, woo woo?
No, it's great. Well, I'm still kind of seeing spots because, we sat in the quad, no kidding, watching the eclipse for like 4 hours. Like I got there at like 10. It didn't even start to 11:45. I wanted to get a good spot, blah, blah, blah. So, like, you just forget sometimes. You don't have your glasses on. You're like, well, is it doing anything yet? Oh, my goodness.
Now you burnt your retina.
Exactly. Right? So, and then we have to record.
Blind tonight.
Yeah, I was like, that's, I'm here. You know what?
Read the excessive warning.
Not to look at it.
I will not miss a podcast, people, even if I look directly into the sun by accident.
Even if he's blinded by the sun.
I will not miss a show for you folks. I will, scream out from an emergency room bed, no, it's a Monday. We got to record. No. That's okay. All right, Lauren's got the next question. Mike, Pam, and Ricky, first off, I want to thank Mike for all the extra encouragement he gave me before I took the Texas bar. I'm glad it's over. Lauren and I were working on a trip at the time, and I said, you know what? She was getting ready to take this big bar exam. I'm like, this is going to be so worth it when you get through there. You're going to Disney World. Look at it. It's the big old egg at the end of the tunnel here, the light at the end of the tunnel.
Egg,
I don't know why.
At the end of the tunnel?
It's the carrot. It's whatever it is. It was something. I was just telling her, you know what? You're going to make it. It's going to be awesome. Okay, forget it. My brain's fried. It's eclipse day. Anyway, I'm a longtime Walt Disney World visitor, but my husband and I are taking our 7-year-old niece, Kennedy, on her first trip this January. She cannot wait. My question is about Epcot Fast Pass Plus. We have a 6 a.m. flight out of Dallas Love Field and land at MCO at 9:30 and are going to Epcot that day. And I'm torn on what ride to make Fast Pass Plus reservation for, Soarin' or Frozen Ever After. Kennedy is not a mega Frozen fan, just an average fan. And I think she will be more impressed with Soarin'. It's also my husband's favorite ride. Due to our late arrival at the park, would it be better to get a fast pass for Soarin' and chance the line for Frozen or vice versa? This will be our only day at Epcot, and I don't want her to miss something like Soarin'. However, I haven't been on Frozen. Is one line more entertaining than the other? Is Frozen not to be missed? My husband and I plan on taking her back in a few years, so she will have a chance to see them both. Thanks, Lauren's down in Denton, Texas. All right. Here's my two cents. I haven't answered any yet. I would definitely fast pass Frozen and stand by Soarin' just because the line for Frozen will be probably 3 to 4 times longer than Soarin'. With the 3 theaters, you can get in Soarin' a lot quicker. And that's the one I'm always going to stand by over Test Track and especially over Frozen. Ricky, any qualms with that thinking?
No, I think you're exactly right. I would absolutely fast pass Frozen if you can get it. And I would stand by for Soarin'. Like you said, with the 3 theaters, it makes it so much easier to get into Soarin'. if for some reason you can't get a fast pass for Frozen and you do end up deciding to do Soarin', I have heard, and it depends on how much you care to see Illuminations, but I have heard that at the end of the evening is the best time to try to get in to see Frozen Ever After if you don't have a fast pass. So just keep that in mind, whatever you decide that you want to do. But yeah, I would definitely do Frozen as my fast pass.
So Pam, here's $1 million question. She's a 7-year-old girl, you know, and I'm sure she's, I mean, everybody at this point's probably seen Frozen, you know, at least a few times. Even the folks who aren't, you know, it was worse 3-4 years ago. It's died down, but everybody still has that. It's like in our lexicon, you know, Let It Go and everything. Right. But Pam, what do you think? I mean, even for somebody that's not a mega Frozen fan, is Frozen still an attraction that, because I love Frozen just because it's got the two girls. I have two girls. I don't know. You know, it came out of my birthday. We saw it together the day it came out and so forth. It's got a place in my heart. But if I wasn't a Frozen fan, is this still a not to be missed attraction at Walt Disney World?
So I think if you're a Disney fan and it's a new attraction that you haven't experienced, I think the answer to that question, regardless of whether it's Frozen or anything else, is yes, yes, yes. I mean, you have to do it, right? It's one of the newer attractions there at, you know, at Walt Disney World. So I think that case, I think there are some things that are really cute about the attraction. I think the way that it took the old attraction and kind of really made it seem so new. There are times when, and I probably rode the Norway attraction that, you know, was before Frozen 100 times at least. I mean, that's not even an exaggeration, but at times I would be riding it and I'd be like, oh my gosh, this feels like a different attraction. This feels like a new attraction. So there are parts of it that I think are really cute, and it's cool and it's worth seeing. But Mike's absolutely right. Regardless of how you feel about the attractions, the line for Frozen Ever After is almost always going to be longer than it will be at Soarin'. And there are, you know, the stuff in the Soarin' queue has been working lately. I mean, you know, miracles upon miracles, but it has been. So there's some interactive stuff to do. And I don't think the queue is really that long for it. So I think Mike's technique is absolutely the one that I would suggest as well.
Still got it after 1200 shows. That's right. That's right. I love it. Well, you know, it really, honestly, if you get the Frozen Fast Pass, you're going to see both attractions that day. I mean, there's really no doubt about it. So do it. All right, Jenny's got the next question down in Austin, Texas. We're big in the state of Texas or the country of Texas, however they think about it down there. Hi, guys. It's Cruise Advice. It says, we are Disney World and Disneyland veterans, but taking our first cruise in October. It's a Halloween cruise for 3 nights out of Port Canaveral, going to Nassau and Castaway Key. What are some tips a cruise veteran would have for us newbies? It'll be my husband and me, plus a 12-year-old boy and 7-year-old twin girls. Thanks, Jenny. All right, we've got the 7-year-old twin girls, a 12-year-old boy, and Jenny and her husband. 3-night Halloween cruise. Ho, 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 Pam, what should they do?
So make sure as soon as you get on the ship that you know all the Halloween activities that are going to be taking place, because those are incredible. They do a great job. You know, make sure that you do that. Make sure that you set aside some time to go to the adult areas on the ship by yourself. It's totally worth it. You know, even sitting around the adult pool, I think, is a really cool activity. So make sure you do that. I'm trying to think what else. You know, there are photo packages if that's something that you really want to do. Otherwise, you can buy individual photos. But I think, you know, I've seen some great family photos taken on the ship, and I think it's a good opportunity to have one done if that's what you choose to do. And gosh, 3 nights is going to go by so fast. You're going to get off the ship before you even know it. Yeah. So suck up every moment because, you know, don't sleep.
No.
I mean, Ricky, Pam's joking, but honestly, no, you got to say, but I mean, you got to look at it as it's like a 72-hour adventure. I mean, it's every hour counts.
Every hour does count. So a couple things that I was going to say is to go along with Pam and like the pictures, make sure you sign up for the opportunity to meet the characters. So there are a couple character signups that you have to do. One is for the princesses and one is to meet Anna and Elsa from Frozen. I'm not sure if they'll have any other special ones since it's Halloween, but I do know that they have those two for sure. So make sure you sign up for those. Even if you're not sure if you really want to go do it, sign up anyway, because you'll have the tickets and then you can choose at the time whether you want to do it. So like when Brian and I went, we didn't end up, I know it's going to sound terrible, but we didn't go to the Frozen one because we were busy doing something else at the time. So, but we did do the Princess one. So there's that. So just make sure you sign up for those just in case. The other thing is to make sure you go to the open houses for the first day open house for the kids club. First of all, that'll help your kids kind of get acclimated to the kids club, and while you're, you know, with them, so they don't feel, you know, if they're timid or anything like that, they'll get rid of that immediately. And second of all, hello, as an adult, you want to go to the kids club. Trust me. Trust me. You want to go to the kids club at least for a little bit. So which ship are they on the Dream?
Three-nighter would be the Dream.
I think for the Dream. Yeah. So yeah, you definitely want to go see the kids club.
That's right. Lightspeed, Chewie.
Absolutely. Might have played on that myself.
I totally did. And yeah, that's so you guys, great advice. Don't have much more to add. It's just going to go fast. Enjoy every minute. No, you can't see everything. So don't stress about that. Just enjoy the memories you make. And the thing is, like Pam said, do the Halloween stuff. That's why you're there. It's awesome. But sign the kids up for the kids activities in the port. You know, while you're waiting for your group to get called, that's time you don't want to waste when you're on the ship, because you can do it when you get on the ship, but that's wasted time. And like Rookie said, here's the thing about the kids clubs. I've learned this over the years. They have to go immediately, because what happens is friendships get made quickly on these cruises. And if they go day two, they're going to kind of feel like they're an outsider, because friendships were already made
day one. Especially with the 3-day cruise, too. I mean, there's not a lot of time for that. So,
So you want to hop, you know, at least get them involved immediately if they're going to be in the kids club. I learned that one. All right, Caitlin's got the next one, and she's from Pennsylvania, too, but it says the other side of Pennsylvania. Anyway.
It's sad when people are starting to do that.
That's good. I like it.
I have so many people that actually come up to me and say, I live near whatever, which is, I know Mike will ask.
That's right. That's what I do. We're big in Pennsylvania. I love it. You know, the Keystone State loves us. Anyway, Caitlin says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I've searched online and I get varying answers. That's another place that's dangerous to look, is that place called Online.
Well, how many questions do you think they heard a day because of something someone heard somewhere or something that they saw on the internet?
Exactly.
All right, here's the deal. Everyone in my group is on the dining plan. My question is, can one person order an entree using one table service credit and split the meal between two people? I know this does not work at buffets and character meals, but I'm still not sure if it's possible. Also, what is your favorite place to eat at Walt Disney World after a race? Thank you guys so much. Kate from the other side of PA. All right, Pam, let her know about this. Only works for places where you're ordering off a menu. You're right, not buffets, not character meals. But what about sharing a meal on the dining plan? What's the rule?
You can do that. The issue I would just suggest perhaps is to think about the server and whether, like, what your tip should be based on since you're splitting a meal. I just think that that's only fair to the server to consider what the cost might have been with an additional meal there when you're doing that. I'm just saying. And you want to keep your server happy. Hello. And if you have six people or more, your gratuity will already be added on anyway. So that won't even be an issue. But yeah, you can do that. And not at, just to say it again, can't do it at any all you care to eat thing, and no, none of the dinner shows either. So.
Spoken as the mom of a server. That's well done.
Yeah.
Yes, I will tell you, as someone who tips well, I am shocked at some of the tales that are told, I will just say. By not just Hannah, by servers in general.
I know my wife was one for years. I mean, because honestly, when she first started teaching, it didn't cover the bills. So she was a server at night and taught elementary school all day. And yeah, the stories were not good. All right, so post-race, I like to eat anywhere. In my first marathon, I was about to fall out. I was so hungry. Pam's like, I think you're going to die. We're standing under Spaceship Earth. I'm running over to Electric Umbrella and getting you the biggest cheeseburger. I ate that thing in like 3 bites, and it was the greatest cheeseburger I ever had. Forget homecoming. Forget Jacques Lindsay's, the Boathouse. I don't care. It was the closest hamburger. It was the best. It tasted so good. But you know what? I like to eat at Kona after races. I think it's convenient. You know, it's easy to get to, and they just have a wide variety of meals. It's got a laid back atmosphere. For some reason, I love Kona because I like that noodle bowl they have. It's changed names slightly here in the last few months, but I could tear up Kona, you know, and then you can get a Dole Whip downstairs. You know, it's a good place. Ricky, what would you say for somebody post-race to go get a good bite? You've earned it. You know what? You got the bling. Now let's have some carbs.
You have earned it. Okay, so I am going to say, speaking of what you kind of mentioned, I am totally going to say homecoming. Best food. Seriously, hands down. Such good food. Maybe not the healthiest food, but delicious food.
You know what, Ricky? I found a homecoming here in St. Louis. It's not almost the exactly the same. It's called. It's in St. Charles. It's called Hendrix. I'm telling you, on Main Street, when you come back for Labor Day, you got to go there. It's got the same vibe. You drink out of mason jars. It's got crazy good food.
You do know what I told you about my schedule when I come back home.
Well, I'm saying, ditch the family. We'll go out. Exactly. You and Brian will go to Hendrix. I'm just
saying. There you go. Exactly. Yes.
Mike Cavado listens to the show out in St. Charles. He knows. All right, Pam. So, and we're going to go there when we come down. We're all running hot chocolate, a bunch of us, in December. We're going to St. Louis Homecoming. Yes, come on. Yeah, come on. It's a 15K.
Wait, when is hot chocolate in December?
Like the second weekend or something. It's fun. Instead of Gatorade, you get, big marshmallows and stuff. Well, you get Gatorade, too. It's gross.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun, though. Anyway, forget about it. We're making plans here in the middle of the podcast.
Distracted, yeah.
Yes, I do. It's Eclipse Day. Anyway, Pam, what would you say? A meal post-race. Where might you go?
So I think, like, if you can go to one of the resorts, you're going to find better availability, and it won't be quite as busy as some of the other ones. Sometimes on race weekends, those in-park table service locations get really busy. So consider that. But I think, wherever the race ends, wherever you're staying, I'm going to look at the table service there and think about that option, because I think at some point you're not only going to want to eat, you're going to want to take a shower and stuff like that. So
I also killed Via Napoli that day after I had that cheeseburger.
Oh, that's true. We Via went Napoli, back. Yes.
That was the day. That was the year that I ran my first marathon. We finished at Epcot, obviously. Ate my cheeseburger, waited for everybody else to come in because I was, cheering everybody as they came in. Once everybody came in, we went back to Via Napoli, had like a 2:30 ADR, killed that pizza and salad. Then we had to fly home like at 6 o'clock, and I didn't even get a shower until I got home. That poor
plane. I remember that. Yes. I remember you're eating and being like, I'm not going to get a shower. And we're like,
I didn't have
not.
A chance. I didn't have a chance.
I forgot Via Napoli. That is such a good choice. Oh, absolutely.
Tore it up. Yes. Anyway, all right. Amy's got the last question of the day. She says, hi, Mike and ladies. I'm starting to think about FastPass Plus reservations since I'm about 190 days out. And this is timely. She's still under the limit, so we're good. Is there any way to make a reservation for 2 flights of passage and a reservation for 2 for the Navi River journey? My husband has a My Disney Experience account, and I didn't know if he could take our younger son on the slower ride while I take our older son on the more exciting ride. So basically, I think what she's saying is there's 4 in her family. She wants to split up. So the husband takes the younger kid on the river journey, and she takes the older kid on flights of passage. So Pam, can you divide? Pam calls this dividing and conquering in our family. Like, we got to split up. So what's the story there? Can you do that?
Yeah, you can do that actually with any attraction. I think that this is a common thing that most people think is that everyone in your party needs to experience the same attractions. And that's the beauty of FastPass Plus. If you have 4 people in your family, 2 people can do Space Mountain while another 2 do Peter Pan. If you have 4 people in your family, each of you could choose 3 different attractions to experience using FastPass Plus. So it's customizable for your family. So absolutely, you and one child can go do Flight of Passage, and your husband and another child can do the Navi River Ride. The thing that you can't do is you can't experience both the Navi River Ride and Flights of Passage using Fast Passes for one person on one day. So that won't work. One person can't choose both of those as their Fast Pass Plus.
But see, we do give good news sometimes. I like it. You know what? That's good news.
We do. We don't always have to say according to Disney rules. typically,
yeah, due to the response of our guests, you're going to get some bad news.
Yes.
feedback from our guests.
Exactly. Sorry, you can't do that. Anyway, no, you can't. You're good. Okay, she has a second question regarding Disney cruising. How young is too young for a cruise? We currently have a 3 and almost 6-year-old who have been bugging me to go, but I'm afraid they are too young to enjoy it. Do you suggest a 3 or 4 night cruise to get them used to sailing? I've been on cruises, but I'm the only one in my family who has. Thanks for the podcast. Keep up the great work. Amy is in Nashua, New Hampshire. I don't know why I said Hampshire. That's how it's spelled. That's not how it sounds. She only put NH anyway. I didn't even have to say it. It's eclipse day. I got eclipse brain. Anyway, so Ricky, what would you say? 3 and 6, man. I think they're going to have a good time cruising. Definitely a four-nighter, right?
Absolutely. I am probably the worst person to ask because, you know, while I don't have kids now, I can tell you, like, when that day comes, they're going to be on a cruise with me, no matter what age they are, as long as it hits that cutoff of whatever it is, 6 months, whatever, they're going to be on a ship with me. So I'm probably not the person you should ask. But I know, like, Melissa and Jay brought little Haley on the podcast cruise. She had a great time. I know she had so much fun, and obviously she was much younger than 3, so I say go for it. I think one of the things that, as long as the child is potty trained, which isn't like a huge deal, but, you know, I think that's kind of one of the things that might be helpful. But, I mean, otherwise, you're all good. Either way, you're good. But
yeah, because
I would totally do it.
You can't use swim diapers on the cruise line. Right. I mean, like you may other places. That is a consideration. Pam, so, you know, Mallory obviously has sailed many, many times. She's 9 years old now. She's Gold Castaway Club, which just kills me. You know, that she's 9. Like, I didn't even go on a vacation period until I was, like, older than she is right now. But whatever. So what's your best advice? Because, you know, you've worked with guests for years and years. 3 and 6. What do you say to that?
I don't think that you can ever be too young to cruise. In fact, I think that actually with young children, I think a cruise vacation is sometimes easier than a park vacation. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do with young kids. There's lots of things to see that they're going to enjoy seeing. I think one of the things to think about is get them comfortable with eating out, because it's like each dinner or each meal is like you're eating out. Right. But, you know, if you're anything like I was, Hannah had her first meal out when she was like days old. So, I mean,
I have a feeling that will be me at some point too.
Yeah, exactly. We took her everywhere. And Hannah is a Platinum Castaway Club member. And we told her that's one of our gifts to her. You're a Platinum Castaway Club member, so
I love it.
All the benefits and rights that come with that. So anyway, I think that, you know, think about the things that they're going to be to do on the ship. There's character greetings, there's activities, there's the fun kids club, or for kids under a certain age, there's the nursery that's available. So there are just so many things that kids are really going to enjoy experiencing. And, you know, so as long as your children will enjoy that, I think you'll have a great time.
Yeah, I agree. You don't have, when you're on the ship, you don't have so much to consider. That's the thing, like folks that are veteran park goers, either Walt Disney World, Disneyland, but especially World, you have so many variables and so many options. And while Disney Cruise Line offers a lot of options, it's still a ship. You know, I mean, as much entertainment as there is, it's still 1,100 feet of entertainment. You know, it's just not as massive. And they've streamlined everything to where you're going to have a great time. Every age group has a specific, you know, kind of agenda to make sure they have a great time. The tweens, the teens, the adults, the kids. And they're just really good at it. And it takes a lot of that stress of trying to figure out, okay, well, what's this guy going to do? What's this little girl going to do? You know? Everybody, they're so good at entertaining every segment of the family that 3 and 6 are going to have, they'll have the time of their lives. But I definitely do 4 nights, because, you know, 3 nights, it's a great way to get your feet wet, no pun intended, but it goes by so quickly. I think every person that goes on a 3 wishes they'd have done a 4, you know, but if, you know, 3 is better than 2, and it's definitely better than 0. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's, you're on the ship, you're having a great time. So anyway. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks for sending in those questions. Send them in to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get those on here right away. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And as I do, I'm pointing at her right now. Oops, I'm pointing the wrong way. She's right here, and she's going to tell you what's happening this week on Theme Park News, Disney Edition. What's up?
It's funny because I'm not there on my screen, so that's the funny part. Well, okay, so... There is going to be a brand new dessert experience for Fantasmic beginning on September 8th at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Guests will not only receive reserved seating for the nighttime spectacular, but they will also receive a snack box with sweet and savory items, including things like chocolate-covered strawberries and cheese and crackers.
That sounds like that sounds like a Run Disney race when you finish. You get a little box.
Yeah, exactly. You get one bottle of water with it. You get one specialty beverage with it, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, so whichever one you choose. And you get a souvenir light-up cup. This offering is $39 for adult ages 10 and up, and $19 for children ages 3 to 9. And it can be booked by either going online or calling Disney. So,
good stuff.
Or getting it with your travel agent.
Yeah, that's right. So. And it's a lot cheaper than a Run Disney race, let me just tell you. When I heard the price, I'm like, that ain't a race. I can tell you that. Those boxes cost
a fortune.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, when you think about it, with all that you get, it's not that bad of a deal, all things considered. So,
but you don't.
Disney has some expensive dessert parties.
They do.
This isn't one of them.
They do.
So,
but you don't get 26.2 magical miles. You know what? And some of those aren't always magical. Let me just tell you, that's not truth in advertising. Miles like 16 through 22 stink. Disney.
Yes.
But the rest of them are pretty cool.
Anyway. I mean, I haven't run that much, but I can tell you like miles like, you know, 7 through 11 start to stink too.
Yeah, I
tell
you, there are miles where you rethink your decisions in life. You're like,
correct.
What am I doing? I hate Osceola Parkway. I hate ESPN. I'm never watching that channel again. I hate this. Anyway. Can you tell I'm getting ready for Dopey again? I'm getting in the mindset. We're going to make it. Go Lizards. Anyway, great news like this, Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app. Download it right now over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, we've got a great Instagram and Twitter account at BRGuestMike. We'll have lots of fun there from the weekend out in Indy. Also, when you're doing your online shopping, you guys have done so well. We appreciate it so very much. Keep purchasing. Keep being a consumer. Keep being a capitalist. But when you do, go through our link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It is truly appreciated. It costs you nothing extra. It's a great way to support the show. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. If you don't mind, we love ratings and reviews on places like Apple Podcasts, which was formerly called iTunes, and Stitcher. If you have a few minutes and wouldn't mind, please drop by, give us a rating and review. We'd appreciate that so very much. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday, continuing a series that we started last Friday, and we're going to talk about it this weekend out in Indy. We're going to talk about the next three table service restaurants that we think might need to go down at Walt Disney World. What do you think? What do you think we're going to say? I call Liberty Tree Tavern. I call the one in American Adventure. I call
it's
that
not
one.
A table service.
Not table.
It isn't. You're right. You're right. Okay, so anyway, I don't call that one. I'm going to edit that out.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm just going to leave it in because we're all family, and I'm in a hurry. So anyway, we're going to be back again. Table service. I will think it a little harder by Friday.
Yeah,
I'll give it some thought here in the next 48 hours.
You think about that, mister.
I will. All right, so you guys have a great Wednesday. Thanks for downloading the show. Until we see you again, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.